one's mind in the meditation. And even mindfulness, that is in balance with equanimity. It is important not to have any aim at any instant of our practice. As soon as we are aiming at some experience, then we create a separation between the meditator and the experience that we are aiming at. That is why the other day I used being, as its richness and its difficulty. But at least it get rid of the sense of having any aim. When we use awareness, mindfulness, attention, the tendency may be to aim at some object or experiences. Like if in our meditation it was about to investigate specific objects or experiences, which can be a possibility of course, but here that's not what we are trying to explore. So that is why in being is expressing that maybe more simply than using other words. So a way of being at every instant within every experience, and so the within is a bit strange. Yet if one is aiming at getting rid of something or trying to promote something else, then let's be aware of this attitude in mind, and then just be resting in this mind of desire or aversion, not in order to transform it or to get rid of it, just to be mindful of it. Which you could express as an expression of being at this time. So in any experience, as in hearing, as in seeing, as I mentioned last night, of course seeing with closed eyes is not the best way to explore seeing. You can explore that outside. Open your eyes if you like. It is possible to have also this attitude with respect to thoughts. The thoughts as an expression of being. Or awareness, if you like. So one can be fully present in the thought process as one can be in hearing or in seeing or in experiencing body sensations. But I want to give some tools with respect to thinking. Because sometimes it's difficult to have this proper position or disposition with respect to thought. When we give to thought concrete reality, then it is difficult to experience that just as a way of being. I like to explore a little bit the way to work with thoughts. In a way that is already very freeing when we start to see what thoughts are, realize what thoughts are. Even when it is through an attitude of analyzing. So I was wondering for some time, so it's very clear in hearing what can be the problem if I create or hold on to a concept of what I'm hearing, hearing the bird, hearing the car, hearing the voice. Then as I've made an object of this, conceptualizing this sound that I'm hearing, then it is not possible to be intimate with hearing. And that's very clear, it's easy to say, easy to see. Doesn't mean that one has always a sensitivity for that, but one can experience it. If I just stay with a hearing experience without building anything around, there's an intimacy here, which is clear and revealing awareness to itself, so to speak. And I was wondering, so in thoughts, what is the difficulty? If the thoughts or concepts are exactly what is the problem in hearing, so then it's hopeless with thinking because they are exactly the problem. How can we be present in this experience? So that we could be intimate. And experience thought as being or as awareness. And in my exploration, what I discover, don't know if it is, but it seems to be in agreement with the Buddhist psychology, and if I have checked in the text, that so there's two aspects. It has the aspect that can be transmitted, as I mentioned in the beginning, which is the words, if you like, that I can repeat or I can remember. This is the aspect, the practical aspect of the soul that can be transmitted. And that is linked with the language one is using and the meaning of it. And it's different because people could hear the sound and not understand the meaning if they don't know the language. And in this sense, when we cling to the expression, the sounds, or the words, then it is like a solidification. It's difficult to be intimate. The intimacy is not so much with the formulation, but with the meaning. So if I experience hearing just as a hearing, this intimacy, revealing awareness to itself, so to speak, I can explore thinking the same way, not resting in the formulation, but rather in the meaning. The meaning of the thought is the way that awareness manifests itself. Awareness takes the aspect of this meaning, and this meaning is present to itself, aware of itself. It doesn't need any other awareness. Its nature, its essence is awareness. So one can explore in this way. If I have a thought, I can explore it, cut it again, and start to see the meaning. How the meaning stays after the word. If there were no meaning staying after the words, then the thought would have no impact. The formulation is very short. You know? Imagine somebody telling me, you are hopeless. Very short at the end, okay, there is no meaning staying within me. Thought would have no impact. So I can be aware of the formulation but then the meaning. Seeing how the meaning is awareness manifesting as its meaning. The nature of the meaning is awareness. And then is nowhere, just like hearing or seeing is nowhere, there's no concreteness. In a sense, it doesn't say any truth about anything else but about itself. It just says what it thinks. Or mean what it means, but doesn't mean that it has an impact, objective impact on something else. So one can explore that when sitting or eating or sometimes walking around in the kibbutz. A sort of rise. Wondering where is this thought? Which concrete existence does it have? Yeah, not clinging to formulation, but investigating the meaning. And that is very freeing when one starts to see clearly what is the nature of a thought. It's very freeing. Because of course we are bound by thoughts. Everything is depending on thought. Conflict, love. Everything is depending on thought. And it's not that we are going to lose our capacity of thinking. And far from that. But maybe we will not give it too much reality. Not be bound. It is so fantastic. We think something and then we are bound by what we think. And this binding power of a thought is much stronger than a stone wall. In Peter Brook's movie, Meeting with Remarkable Man, is a strange anecdote where children are playing together in Central Asia, I don't know where it is, and one child goes around another one and traces in the sand a circle. And he said, now you are bound by the spirit, you cannot come out. And this poor child is trying to push outside of this imaginary sphere and cannot get out. Start to cry, and another come and erase the circle in the sand, and the boy can come out. And the way we bound ourselves with thinking. Being trapped in the reality of our thoughts, rather than just being able to hear thinking, which is such a powerful and beautiful capacity. We can also explore mental images, made of people, of place. And we start to question the mental image also, it's a manifestation of awareness. It's later is awareness of being, not an object. Yet we treat it as an object. It's like when we imagine somebody, it seems that it is in front of us. But when we start to check, it is striking. If I want to give the size of this image of this person account, is it half the normal size of the human size, or bigger, or very small? It just doesn't make sense. How far is it from me? Is it 1 meter, 2 meters? It just doesn't make sense. You see, we are treating it as an object. We've objectified this mental image, which is just a mind appearing at that. And then there's been confusion. Then we can't experience this imagination as a manifestation of awareness, a way of being. So the imagination or images also, they have their own presence, their own awareness. They're aware of themselves. They don't need to be known by something else. They are awareness. So when we start to explore like that, it can be also powerful in the freeing aspect of it. Could have strong aversion for someone or strong desire from this image that we give objective reality, but when we realize it is just the mind being aware of itself in this aspect, then the power of fascination, either aversion or desire, disappears. This time there is no meditator and experience, rather imagination and someone that is imaginating. There is just as imagination as a manifestation of awareness. And this investigation is not done thinking, analyzing. There can be a few questions, no doubt, but then one let the experience reveal itself. In a sense, a few questions one may use is to break the belief that we have, that we never question. Then at this time, imagination or thoughts, it's just a way of being present. They are completely including mindfulness. It's an experience of non-dual awareness. Not making too much effort. Here, what I've mentioned, it seems that we have some kind of objective. Not so much we need to be an objective when there is none, but when we discover that we are lost in imagination or holding to thoughts, there is an objective here, there is an aim that we're questioning. When we have this attitude of simplicity, when there is no aim, then at this time there's no use to try to analyze anything. So not putting too much effort, but with simplicity, sensitivity. Again, why I like the word being, because we cannot make being, there's no effort of being. Being is already here, we cannot make it. What we could imagine, I can be mindful, I should be mindful, I should be aware. But being, we can't do anything about it. Again, not that this word is without difficulty, but it has some quality that I think is interesting. And be aware in your practice if you see anything as an obstacle. Sleepiness, tiredness, sadness. Or if you are indulging in peacefulness, in joy. Not miss this opportunity. Not to cling at it, not to grasp at it, so that you may discover the space of freedom that is within each experience. So practice in a relaxed way.